We're turning tonight in the Word of God again to the Gospel of John, this time the chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to break in to the chapter, the verse 29. John chapter 1, and commencing our reading there at the verse 29. And just a brief reading down to the end of verse 34. And the Word of God says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And that phrase there, which is preferred before me, it just really means that he ranks higher than. And that's what John the Baptist is saying. Verse 32, And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Amen. We'll end our reading at the end of verse 34. And we trust that the Lord will bless this short reading to our heart. And we'll still our hearts and we'll unite before the Lord. And let us bow in a word of prayer as we meet around his precious truth. And let us seek his face and pray for his help. And that he would have that word for our hearts tonight. Let us pray. Eternal Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank thee once again that we can meet in thy presence in such a fashion. We thank thee, Father, for thy hand that has been upon us already thus far. We thank thee, Father, for all that has been said and done in thy name. And Father, now we pray that as we meet around this, thy precious truth, and Father, we pray that you would be our portion. We pray, Father, for that help from on high. We pray, Father, that you would take thy word, you would lift it up, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would apply it to every heart and every soul that is gathered in our meeting tonight. And God, we pray especially for those that may be in and they're outside of Christ. And Father, we pray tonight especially for that word in season for them. And Father, as we think of Christ our Savior, oh, Father, we pray tonight that he would be exalted, that he would be lifted high. Oh, we pray that the things of man would fall by the wayside and be forgotten. But Father, we pray that our Savior would be exalted this evening. Oh, God, we pray that we would hear a voice from thee. Father, we pray that you prepare our hearts now to receive thy word, just as the farmer has to prepare that field for the sowing of the seed. Father, we pray that you'll prepare our hearts for the receiving of the precious seed of thy precious truth. And Father, we pray tonight that you would give help in the pew. Give that listening ear, remove the distractions. Oh, Father, maybe even genuine things that we're concerned about. Genuine worries of what we have to do in this sin coming week. Father, just for a few moments, and may they be forgotten and cast aside. Father, maybe we'll be drawn to consider those eternal things. Father, we pray for help in the pulpit. Father, I pray for thy help this evening, again, empty me of self and of sin. Fill me full of the Holy Spirit, take this weak earthen vessel, and Father, I pray tonight that I would be a channel of blessing. And God, I pray tonight that as you've laid this word upon my heart, that you would give me the help to preach it forth this evening. And God, may it not be with the enticing words of man. Father, may it be the very word of God. Touch my lips with that live coal from off the altar. And may it be thus, and thus saith the Lord. Be with us tonight, we ask. And meet with us. And O God, may we leave this house tonight filled with the joy of the Lord, knowing that we've met with thee. Present our Savior's precious name, and for his glory. Amen. I don't know what's happening, my voice. It seems to be starting to go. So we trust that the Lord will help tonight as we meet around his word, and that we wouldn't lose it all together. But John chapter 1, and the reading that we read earlier, 29 to 34, and we have it here before us tonight. And we just want to spend a few moments speaking upon this portion of Scripture. You see, we live in a society today, as you know, that bombards us with announcements. Everywhere we go, there are announcements, whether it be in our family, maybe an announcement of a new birth, or maybe it's that invitation coming through the post to that wedding. Or perhaps if we're on public transport, we will hear many announcements that are vying and trying to grab the attention of us as we go about our daily business. Perhaps you've been away over the summer months, flying to a foreign country, and you've been in the airport. And perhaps you've been hearing the announcements, or maybe on the plane where your attention's drawn to those safety announcements, those safety briefings. And so we're in a day where we're confronted with many an announcement. Some of these announcements, as you know, are more important than others. In our text that we've read tonight in John chapter 1, we have read a record of an announcement being made. It's perhaps the most important announcement that could ever be made in this scene of time. We read of this announcement in verse 29. And it says there in God's word, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith," and this is the announcement, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And of course, here we have the words of John the Baptist speaking here in verse 29, and he's making a most vital and a most important announcement. And this announcement, of course, it concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. It concerns the Savior himself. You see, John, he is described there in verse 7 of John chapter 1 as a witness. He was the forerunner of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. His role and his purpose was to be a witness. It was to prepare the way of the Savior, of the coming Messiah. Verse 7 says of John, "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." You see, John's role was to announce Christ. That's exactly what we read of him doing here in the verse 29 as he cries those words, "Behold the Lamb of God." Here John, he's announcing Christ. He is acting in that position of forerunner and witness. And this evening we want to take a few moments and we want to look at this announcement that was made by John. And that's our subject this evening. It is an important announcement, an important announcement. And friends, tonight particularly, if you're in this meeting and you're out of Christ, there will not be as an important an announcement that you will hear as what we have before us here in verse 29. If you forget all the announcements that you've heard in the week that has gone out into eternity, be sure not to forget this one. Be sure to take heed at this great announcement that John is making here in verse 29. Be sure to pay attention. You see, this announcement of John is the most important you will ever hear. Notice in the first place, in relation to this announcement, the attention that is requested. See, John here, he calls for the attention of all those who are in earshot of him. We read there as he cries out, "Behold." That word, "Behold, behold the Lamb of God." And he calls those in the vicinity to attention. And that word, "Behold," is used in our authorized version in 1,275 verses. And in some verses it will be used more than once. And really that should be no surprise tonight, you see, because the Word of God, the gospel of Christ, it is one that demands our attention. It is one that commands us to take heed. It cries out to us, "Behold." It is crying out for people to hear and to listen to the great message that it proclaims. In Matthew 10, in the verse 16, we have the words of Christ. It is a word to God's own people. And Christ says there, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves." And of course, the Savior here, he is giving a warning to his people. He's reminding them of the difficulty of the work. He's reminding them of the obstacles and the hindrances that may come before them. And he draws the people's attention to what he has to say. And he cries out, "Behold! Behold!" In other words, what he's saying is, "Look, lo, see, hear what I have to say to you." It is an important saying, and so he's attaching an importance to his message. We read further the words of Christ in Revelation 1. In the verse 18, he says there, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." In other words, what Christ is saying here is, "I am he that was dead. I died on Calvary's tree. I paid the debt there, and I entered into the grave. But look, pay attention. See now, behold, I am alive, and alive forevermore." He's directing the attention of his hearers to the great statement that He lives and He reigns at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. And likewise, back in our text in John 1, verse 29, John is making a bold announcement. He's making an announcement that he wants to direct the attention of his hearers to. Behold, the Lamb of God. And if you're unsaved in this meeting tonight, a friend, it's counted a great privilege that God has spurred you to hear such an announcement as this. Behold. Behold the Lamb of God. But you also realize tonight that God is requesting your attention. This book, the Word of God, it is crying out for you to take heed and to listen. God has sent this, His truth, as a revelation of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He reveals to your soul tonight the only way of salvation. The only way that the matter, the great difficulty, the great problem that your soul is in tonight, it's the only remedy can be found in this truth, this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is telling you to behold, to pay attention, to take heed. And God wants you to listen to the gospel message. Perhaps you've been in many a meeting before. Maybe you've sat under the sound of the gospel and you haven't given it attention. Perhaps you've left the meeting unchanged just as you've come in. You've switched off to the preaching of God's Word and you haven't given any attention to spiritual matters. But friend, don't be like that tonight, but listen to the warning. Behold. Behold the Lamb of God. And let's look for a moment at the context of this great statement of John. Look at the verses 19 to 21 of John chapter 1. Just back a few verses. Verses 19 and 21. It says there, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." See, these priests and these Levites, they questioned who John was. And John had to explain to them in verse 20 that he was not the Christ, he was not the Son of God. He wasn't the promised Messiah, he wasn't the one that they were expecting. And still unhappy, they question him further in verse 21. And they ask, was he Elias the prophet? And again, we read that John denied that claim as well. You see, these men didn't really know who Christ was. If they had known who Christ was, they would have known that John was not the Christ. Oh yes, they knew about Christ. They knew what they thought, all that they had to know about him. But the text proved that they couldn't discern who was the Savior and who was not. And that brings us to the context of the verse 29. You see, John, the next day, he sees Christ approach. And he cries out, "Behold, look, see, there is the Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God." Men and women today do not know the true Christ. The world does not know who Christ is. They have their own notions and their own ideas about Christ. They may have heard His name, they've heard about Him, but they believe He is a mere prophet, a man. Somebody that was just merely good living, but many do not believe or have a concept of Christ being the eternal Son of God, being the Redeemer of mankind. They do not know who Christ is, but friend, tonight the gospel, God's precious word, it is crying out, "Behold. Behold the Lamb of God." You see, God's Word reveals to us that Christ is the Son of God. It reveals that He came to seek and to save the lost. It reveals to us that through Christ and Christ alone can man be reconciled to God. And tonight, friend, that is the attention that is required for this great gospel message. As John the Baptist cried out those words, "Behold," that is echoed this evening from God's precious Word. You see, the message of the gospel, the message that this church proclaims week by week, it is such a valuable message. It's a message that demands the attention of men and women and young people. It's a message that men and women need to hear. Behold the Lamb of God. Not only do we see the attention here that is required, but we see the person that is revealed. You see, this announcement that John made, this bold statement, and that he cried out here, it was of vital importance. However, it didn't get its importance from John. John was just a man. Yes, he was used of God. He was a man of God. But at the end of the day, he was just a man. And it was not the person of John that gave importance to this great statement that he made. And the announcement didn't get importance from the audience either. The audience didn't give importance to this message. Those that gathered around John, those that were in his vicinity, the hearers of the announcements, they did not give importance to this great statement. But what is it that makes announcements so important? Think about our day-to-day life when we hear those announcements. What is it that makes an announcement so important? What is it that makes us stop? And the lesson it is, of course, the content. It's what is proclaimed, what is said in the announcement. And we will gauge and judge the importance of an announcement by what is said within that announcement. I think back of that scenario in the airport, an announcement made, perhaps calling for a staff member to report to some station for duty. Well, we wouldn't really pay much heed to such an announcement. But if that same voice came over the tannoy system and told us that our gate was closing, well, our ears would prick up and we would place a great importance in that message and we would respond with urgency. We would respond with boldness. We would respond immediately. We will place a greater importance on that message based on the content that it has. And the reason why this announcement of John is so important, it's not because of John. It's because of the great message that it contains. You see, this great statement of John, it reveals a person. Not just any ordinary person, but it reveals the very Son of God. It reveals Christ. John is crying out here, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And it is this truth that gives John's announcement the importance that it has. You see, John could say, "Behold." He could say, "Take heed, lo, look here." Because of the one of whom he was announcing Christ to men and women. And friend, tonight, this preacher in the pulpit is not important. My name means nothing. The message I proclaim is not my message. It's not the words of man, but it's the message of the gospel of Christ. And tonight we're not pointing you to a denomination. We're not pointing you to a man or to a religion, but we're pointing you to Christ, the Son of God. And we're saying as John, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And it's Him who you need to see clearly tonight. It is the Redeemer. The one which the Bible tells us came to seek and to save that which was lost. We are pointing you tonight to the man of Calvary, the eternal Son of God, and that is why this message is so important. That is why what John cried out here in the wilderness had such importance. It was because of his declaring Christ. And we see two things here about this person of Christ that is revealed. Firstly, we see that he is of God. It says there, "Behold, the Lamb of God." One of the many attacks of the person of Christ that took place in Bible times, and indeed today, it is an attack on the deity of Christ. What do we mean by the deity of Christ? Well, that is the fact that he is not a created being. He is not solely man, but he is God. He is the God-man. He wasn't created by God, but he existed from all eternity. In the Word of God, it teaches us the truth of the Trinity. Not one God, but with three persons within that one Godhead. And that is the truth of the person of Christ, and yet today that is lost in the world. They remove the deity of Christ altogether. As we said earlier, they view him as just a man. And this was a major attack in the day of Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 6 and the verse 42. John chapter 6 and the verse 42. And here we have the account. Now, the account has just taken place of the feeding of the multitude. And the verse that we're joining in here in verse 42, it is the following day from that great miracle. And those that followed Christ, they began to question the fact that he was the Son of God. Look at verse 42. It says there, "And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?" Oh yes, they believed in the human Christ. They believed in his earthly parents, Joseph and Mary, but they couldn't believe that Christ was the Son of God. It confused them. They thought, how could this be? This couldn't be the eternal Son of God who was born of the parents, Joseph and Mary. They didn't understand. They couldn't comprehend it. They couldn't grasp his deity. And what a parallel we have in our day and our age today. See, we have false religions that teach Christ as a mere man. And that's if they teach him at all. My friends, tonight, if Christ was just a mere man, then the whole doctrine of redemption would fall apart. There'd be no such thing as salvation tonight if Christ was just a man. It could not be, but the Word of God tells us that He is the God-man. He's the one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, and He was sent forth from His Father in heaven. And tonight we uphold the deity of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because our belief in redemption would fall apart without it. It's fundamental. When men and women attack the deity of Christ, they attack the whole Scripture. They attack the whole doctrine of redemption, of salvation. You see, the whole gospel narrative points to Christ being the Son of God. It's fundamental. A mere prophet could not complete the work of redemption. A man could not save your soul tonight, sinner, but praise God that it's not a man we offer. Praise God tonight, it is Christ, the eternal Son of God. He's very God Himself, and as a result, He was able to accomplish redemption there in Calvary. And as a result, tonight, if you come to Him, if you bow the knee, if you confess your sin, you'll be brought into His family and into His fold. You see, tonight you're not hoping on self, you're not hoping on man, but there will be a hope in Christ. No surer foundation, no safer a rock than that of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the person that John is announcing here. He's revealing the Lamb of God. And he's crying out to those around Him, "Behold, behold, this is the Lamb of God. This is the promised Messiah." But not only is He of God, but secondly, He is the Lamb. Christ is the Lamb. And friend, tonight the Word of God tells us that we're all born in sin, we're shapen in iniquity. You see, when man fell in the Garden of Eden, when that sin was accounted to Adam's account, it was also placed on the account of all mankind. You see, Adam was the federal head. He was the representative of the human race, and when he fell, we fell with him. And when the guilt of that sin was placed upon him, it was placed upon us. That is taught so clearly through the Word of God. It tells us how through one man sin came into the world. And when that guilt was placed upon Adam, it was placed upon us, and consequently we were born in sin. We are separated from God, we're haters of Him, we're enemies of Him. Left in our own state, we're servers of self. We have no time for the things of God. And that's the state that every child of God was in before Christ entered in with that grace and that mercy. We were haters of Him. We were enemies of God. We were heading out to that lost eternity in hell, that just punishment for our sin. And tonight, friend, if you're outside of Christ, the Word of God makes it clear that that place of hell, it is a reality. It's a place that we cannot even begin to comprehend, the torment, the sorrow, the pain, the suffering. We do not glorify hell tonight, but the Bible teaches of hell. It is a real place, and friend, tonight, if you're outside of Christ, that's the destination of your soul. You may say to me, "Well, tonight, preacher, I'm a good person. I do my best. I try to live my life as best as I can. I give to charity. I help my neighbor." But friend, tonight, it's not exactly what we do that condemns us to hell, but it's who we are. And it's because of who we are that we do the things we do. You see, in our heart and in our souls, we're sinners. And that is why we sin. We fall short of God's glory and God's standard, and there's nothing we can do. There's no merit that we can gain through any works of our own. There's nothing we can do to merit forgiveness. Friends, this is where the Lamb of God comes in. You see, Christ, the only begotten Son of God, He was given of His Father in heaven to be that sacrifice for sin. In Christ, He perfectly obeyed the law of God, and He did not only not sin, but He could not sin. He is impeccable. He was the one who could not sin, and He perfectly obeyed the law of God, and as a result, He was able to go as that sinless, that spotless, that blemish-free lamb to the slaughter there on Calvary's tree. And He became the sacrifice for our sin. And He was the only sacrifice that God would accept. There's no other sacrifice that the Heavenly Father would accept other than His blemish-free Lamb, His Son. And He was the one that took the place of sinners. Upon that cross, His blood was shed as an offering for our sin. And He bore the wrath of God. And Christ cried out those words, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I wonder if you ever thought about those words. Christ had unbroken fellowship with his Father throughout his earthly ministry. Oh, he was the apple of his eye. He was and is his beloved Son. And yet as he hung on that old rugged cross, he was forsaken of his heavenly Father. You see, that separation that should have befallen upon us, it fell upon Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there on the cross, he bore the wrath of God so that sinful men could be set free. He took the place for his people. Paid the price, he paid the debt. And sinner friend, tonight if you confess your sin, if you put your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, he will save you. You'll be redeemed by his precious blood. You'll be set free from the bondage of sin, that debt that you owe, it will be paid by Christ. And this is the good news of the gospel. And friends, that's why this announcement of John, it is so important. Behold, the Lamb of God. And this is who the Lamb is. And this is what John was announcing here. Behold, the Lamb of God. You see, the Word of God reveals to us that we're sinners. It reveals that we fall short of the glory of God. But praise God and his mercy and his grace, it reveals the person of Christ. I wonder, friend, tonight if you're out of Christ, will you heed this announcement? Will you pay attention to the person and to the work of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? As this announcement goes forth, behold, the Lamb of God, will you turn and will you look to him? Will you turn away from self? Will you turn away from sin? And would you place your trust in the Savior? Will you put your trust in that one and that only one that can bear away the burden of your sin? We've noted the attention that is requested, the persons revealed, but notice finally this evening the problem that is removed. Look again at John 1, in the verse 29, this great announcement of John. He says, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. See, there's a great purpose to this announcement made by John. There's a great purpose to the person and to the work of Christ, and that is to take away the sin of the world. See, not only is this announcement so important because of the person it reveals, but it's so important because of the hope that it brings. You see, the very fact that there's existence, in existence, the Son of God, that one who has completed redemption on our behalf, what a hope that brings to the countless who are lost and perishing in their sin in this scene of time. While we're still in the day of grace, what a hope the finished work of Christ can bring. And friend, tonight, the person and the work of Christ, it is a message of hope. See, without him tonight, you're hopeless. You're helpless. You're in your sin and you're lost. That's the state that we're in before we're saved by the grace of God. Sin leaves us helpless and leaves us hopeless. Friend, tonight, we thank God that there's hope in Christ. We thank him tonight that there's help in him. And whilst we can do nothing to overcome the power of sin and the power of Satan, and in our own state, we're helpless and hopeless, but tonight Christ can give us hope. And this hope that we speak of, it is not a weak hope. It is not a wish or a desire, but it is a sure hope. It's a promise. If you come to him tonight, he will save you. God's word tells us in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, tonight there's no greater hope and there's no greater promise. And if you were to call upon the name of Christ, that you will be saved. You'll be set free from your sin and brought into the liberty that is found in Christ. Titus 3, in the verse 7, it says there that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now we're justified here. It's speaking of salvation by the grace of God. And it's saying those who are justified, those who are saved by God, they have a hope of eternal life in heaven. That's what they have to look forward to. That's their assurance. That's their hope. In fact, the word hope that is used in that verse, it comes from the Greek and it means expectation or confidence. See, it's not just a mere wish, but it's a confidence. It's an assurance. It's an expectation that if we are in Christ, that we're redeemed from our sin. And that one day we'll go to be with him in glory for all eternity. And that's the great hope that is found in Christ. The hymn writer, you sung it earlier, writes, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Are you leaning wholly in Jesus' name tonight? Have you got your faith and your trust in him? Are you trusting in his finished work? Have you taken heed to this great announcement here? Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, friend, tonight you can try all the pleasures that this world has to offer. You can do as much good as any human could ever do, but tonight it will leave you hopeless. You must come to Christ. Acts 4:12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name. It's Christ and Christ alone. Two aspects as we close tonight to this removal of the problem of sin. Firstly, Christ takes away original sin. What is John saying here when he speaks of Christ taking away the sin of the world? Well, he's saying that Christ, he came to reverse the effects of the fall. He came to do what Adam could not do. He came to reverse what Adam did. That's what he's saying here when he's saying to take away the sin of the world. See, Adam was placed on probation in the Garden of Eden. He's placed in that probationary period, and if he had have obeyed God, he would not have fallen into sin, and sin would have not have entered into this world. But Adam fell. He fell in that probationary period. That sin was wrought in his heart, and he willingly disobeyed God's command, and he purposefully sinned against him. And as a result, we read that death fell upon him and fell upon all mankind. And Christ was sent to reverse the effect of the fall. And what was the effect of the fall? Well, the result of the entrance of sin, it was death and corruption. Our bodies see corruption in this scene of time. Our bodies will eventually be claimed by death, but for the child of God, because of our Savior's death and resurrection one day, our bodies will rise from the grave and they will be held by death no longer. And they will be reunited to our souls and we will go to live with Christ for all eternity. You see, one day the effect of the fall of man will be reversed in the body and in the soul of his children. One day the effect of sin will be reversed. You see, we see corruption in this present age, but there's coming a day when we will no longer see corruption. Coming a day when all will be perfected in Christ. Revelation 21, verse 4, speaking of the state of believers in heaven, it says there, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." These things mentioned in Revelation, they are all effects of the fall. They are effects of sin. And God tells us here for His people that these things will be removed, that the effect of the fall will be reversed, these things will be taken away. And in the end, Christ and His redemption will have the victory. And that's the glorious message of the gospel tonight. And that's the glorious hope that you have tonight if you're a child of God. It is a sure hope. It is a confidence that Christ came to reverse the effects of the fall. How did He do this? Well, He reversed the effects of the fall by doing what Adam could not do, and that was living in perfect obedience. See, Christ obeyed the law of God perfectly, and as a result, He was able to go as that lamb to the slaughter and pay the price for sin. This brings me, lastly, not only to see Christ dealing with original sin, but Christ, He deals with personal sin. You see, Christ came to seek and to save the lost. He bore the personal sins of His children there on Calvary's tree. That one who knew no sin, He became sin for His people. That one who was blemish free and spotless, He bore the wrath of God for our sin. And therefore those who come to Him in repentance, they can experience the peace of sins forgiven. Friend, tonight it doesn't matter what sins you've committed. It doesn't matter how far into the world you've gone. It doesn't matter how little you know of the gospel of Christ. There's mercy in Christ tonight. There's forgiveness to be found in the Lamb of God. The psalmist David writes in Psalm 103, verses 2 to 3, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." See, David knew personally the forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of his own personal sin. He had experienced the forgiveness of Christ as Savior. And friend, tonight you can experience the same power and the same peace. You can have assurance of sins forgiven if you come to Christ. He has the power to transform your soul. He's the power to remove you from the condemnation that you find yourself in tonight. And he will bring you into a saving relationship with himself. And he will unbind you from the shackles of sin. And he'll set you free through his precious blood. But you must turn to him. You must seek forgiveness for your sin. You must commit your soul into his keeping and into his care. You must rest on his finished work. You must take heed to this great announcement, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And here this announcement made by John, it is an important announcement. There'll be many announcements perhaps you will hear in the week that is yet to come. My friend, I urge you tonight to take heed to this one. Do not miss or ignore the greatest announcement of all. Do not miss the greatest gift that has ever been given to man's soul, that is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not miss this announcement regarding the Lamb of God. Take heed to that one which taketh away the sin of the world. That one who can take away the sin of your soul this evening. See, friend, this is an urgent announcement. It could be the last call for your soul tonight. The Word of God tells us that we're to boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And we do not know what the future holds. We do not know what this evening holds for our soul. If you were cast out into eternity tonight, where would you be? Could you honestly say that it is well with your soul? Could you say that it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord? Oh, friend, you need to make sure tonight. Take heed to the great announcement here made in John chapter 1 and the verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We pray that the Lord will lay his message, his word upon our hearts tonight for his name's sake. We'll